Hey everyone, you ready for this? We're diving deep into the world of numbers today with Adam Spencer's Big Book of Numbers. And I gotta say, this isn't your typical maths newsfest.
It's more like, you know, a cabinet of curiosities, but for number nerds.
Totally. It's the kind of book that makes you want to call up a friend and be like, you are not gonna believe this thing about the number seven.
Speaking of seven, did you know it's statistically the most popular favorite number?
Get out of here. I mean, I guess it is a cool number, but wow.
Right. And Spencer is full of these little nuggets like that. Plus, there's this really sweet story in the dedication of his book about a high schooler who told him basically his work helped them deal with bullies less.
Oh, see? That's what I'm talking about. Find something you're passionate about, like even math, and it can have these crazy ripple effects.
100%. And you can tell Spencer's passionate about making math, well, not scary. You know, taking those things that make people go, nope, not for me, and making them actually understandable.
So he's like the math whisperer.
Yeah.
Taming the wild equations and stuff.
Exactly. He shows how a lot of times, even the really complicated stuff like calculus, it boils down to something pretty elegant when you get to the heart of it.
Okay, I'll bite. How do you make calculus elegant? That's like the Mount Everest of math. For a lot of us.
It's all about finding the right way to relate it back to, you know, something we get. Like, take a roller coaster, right? Calculus is all about understanding change, so how fast the roller coaster is moving at any given point.
Hold on, I think I'm following.
So it's not just where you are on the track, but how fast you're going, even how the direction's changing, all that.
Ooh, okay, so it's like the numbers tell a story about the roller coaster ride, kind of.
Exactly. And Spencer's a pro at telling those stories. He even has this challenge in the book, the four fours game.
Four fours. Never heard of it.
All right. So you got to represent the numbers 1 through 30 using only four fours and basic math operations.
Wait, just like plus, minus, times, divide. Sounds impossible.
Trickier than you'd think. But you can get creative. Like to get one, you do 4 divided by 4 times 4 divided by 4 again.
Okay, sure. I see that. But how do you get to something like, I don't know, 13?
Now we're talking. You got to think outside the box, maybe use some factorials, square roots, stuff like that. For example, to get 13, you could do the square root of 4, which is 2 plus 4 divided by 4 plus 4.
I never would have gotten that. You see, this is why I love math. Deep down, it's like a puzzle.
Right. And that feeling, that aha moment, that's what Spencer nails in this book.
So less about memorizing formulas, more about like the fun of figuring it out.
Exactly. He wants you to see numbers as, I don't know, doorways to these cool patterns and connections, not just numbers.
Speaking of which, there's got to be more than just the number seven in this whole book, right? What other numbery rabbit holes did he go down?
Oh, plenty. Like he gets into how October being the 10th month, even though octal should mean 8, is because of the Romans and their calendar shenanigans.
See, that's what I mean. October being number 10, but it's like octopus, 8 legs, you know. Because you wonder what other number weirdness we just go along with.
Totally. It's like math history, right?
Right.
And Spencer, he doesn't stop there. He goes into the whole unlucky 13 thing, why that number freaks people out so much.
Yeah. Like, is it real bad luck or just, you know, we think it is, so.
Right. It's definitely a thing we do, like, how many buildings skip the 13th floor? Some airlines even skip row 13 on planes. Whether it actually brings bad luck, debatable. But the fact that people avoid it is kind of wild, don't you think?
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost. If enough people believe it, does it become true? Makes you wonder.
There's something to that, right? The power of like group belief, even for numbers. And speaking of stuff that messes with your mind, remember the birthday paradox.
Oh, man, the birthday paradox. Okay, so walk me through that again. Because I get it, but I also kind of don't. Like, there's a piece missing, you know?
Right, so with only 23 people, the odds of two of them having the same birthday, more than 50%.
See, that feels wrong. Like, shouldn't it be way lower?
It feels off, yeah. But it's all about how probability actually works. We think about one person matching another, but it's ANY2 in the group. More people, more potential pairs, and those odds, they shoot up fast.
So it's not me finding my birthday twin. It's like the sheer potential for matches in the whole group.
Exactly. Spencer's got a great example in the book that makes it super clear. Worth checking out. Seriously.
I'm going to see. This is what blows my mind about math. What seems impossible, there's a reason for it.
The beauty of it. Making sense of the chaos, finding the pattern, you know. And speaking of which, Spencer goes into unsolved problems too, like the hailstone problem. Ever heard of it?
Unsolved. All right, you had me at unsolved. Hit me with it.
So mathematicians, we love these. And the hailstone one, it's deceptively simple. Pick any number, even, you divide it by 2. odd, you times it by 3, then add 1. Keep doing that with whatever number you get. The thing is, no matter what you start with, you always seem to end up at 1 eventually.
Wait, seriously? So, like, this process, no matter where it wanders, comes back to 1. Why, though? Someone knows, right?
That's the million-dollar question. People have tested it like crazy, even with computers, huge numbers. Seems to hold true, but definitively prove it, still a mystery.
No way. It's kind of cool, though. Like, even with all our math smarts, some things are still out there.
Exactly. Shows how much we're still figuring out. And speaking of figuring out, prime numbers, man, the building blocks of the number world. And Spencer gets into those, too.
Prime numbers. Okay, so I remember the basics from school, but honestly, they always felt kind of, I don't know, primitively mysterious, even the name. What's Spencer have to say about them?
Oh, tons. He talks about Mersenne primes, which are like a VIP section of prime numbers, 1 less than a power of 2, you know. But it gets weirder. They're connected to perfect numbers.
Perfect numbers.
Okay, now I'm definitely lost.
Stick with me. A perfect number, it's a positive number, and if you add up all its divisors except itself, it equals the original number, like 6. 1 plus 2 plus 3, that's 6 again. The cool part, every even perfect number we found connected to one of these Mersenne primes, too. Whoa! You see, this is why I love this stuff. Start with one thing, prime numbers, suddenly it's like a whole connected web of weirdness.
That's the fun of it. And it goes deeper. Spencer talks about Sophie Germain primes, too. Those are wild primes where 2 times the prime plus 1 is also prime. Super specific. But turns out they're useful for things like cryptography and stuff.
Cryptography. Okay, now we're talking. So prime numbers, not just for math class, they actually do stuff in the real world.
Big time. A lot of online security, like how your credit card info is safe online, prime numbers are behind it.
No way. My online shopping addiction fueled by secret primes? Who knew?
Right. And then you got your factorial primes that are 1 more or 1 less than a factorial. Don't even get me started on Imrt primes. Those are primes that read the same backwards and forwards. Like, how does that even happen?
Imrt prime sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings. But seriously, prime numbers are way more intense than I ever gave them credit for.
Just goes to show, even seemingly basic stuff, there's always more to uncover, you know?
This is making me see numbers totally differently. What else did Spencer get into?
Well, he used a kind of unexpected example to show off how powerful combinatorial math is. The Rubik's Cube.
So from how math helps kids deal with bullies, all the way to, like, the inner workings of a Rubik's Cube, Adam Spencer's big book of numbers sounds like quite the ride.
It really is. And through all these different topics, I think it highlights something really crucial about math. It's more than just, you know, numbers on a page. It's a way to look at everything around us.
Right. There's this pattern hidden in plain sight, and math is how we decode it. And those aha moments, those are what make it fun.
Yeah.
Spencer gets that.
100%. And it never ends, right? There's always another layer, another unsolved problem, like that hailstone thing. Or finding out that, hey, prime numbers, they're secretly running the internet behind the scenes.
So if someone's listening to this and their brain's maybe doing a little bit of that aha thing we talked about, what do we hope they take away from this whole deep dive?
Honestly, that math is for everyone. You don't have to be some genius to appreciate it, even find it fun. This book is proof.
For real. Stay curious, ask weird questions. Don't be afraid to geek out over a cool number fact. Who knows? You might discover something amazing.
That's what I'm saying. And if this little chat sparked your interest, do yourself a favor, check out Adam Spencer's book.
Can't go wrong with a little brain-bending fun. And hey, here's a thought to chew on. What other everyday stuff has secret math hiding in it? What connections haven't we made yet?
That's the beauty of it, right? It never really ends. So stay curious, keep exploring, and who knows what amazing number-filled corners of the world you'll uncover.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And with that, we're wrapping up our deep dive into the world of numbers. Until next time, folks.